Okay, today's daf is Shviyas daf Lamed Ches. Lamed Ches 38 here in the fifth perek of Masechet Shviyas, perek Benos Shuach, which were the unique type of figs that take a couple of years to grow, and that's why their Shemitah might be a couple of years later, as we had the discussion. Just 2 points from yesterday's daf before we continue. We were discussing the Machlokes Tanaim. That's what yesterday's daf was about. Machlokes Tanaim in the Mishnah that said if you have this onion, this type of onion luf, that it's past Shvius now, there was a Machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, what you have to do. If the Aniyim partook of the leaves of Shemitah, so they took all the Kedusha Shvius part of this luf, so then you're good to go and you don't have to figure anything out what you have to leave for anybody, because Shvius Kedusha was finished and there's nothing that has to be left for Zman Biur. But if they didn't, if the Aniyim weren't Melakate, so that's the Machlokas. Rabbi Lazar says you have to do a Cheshbin with the Aniyim somehow. Somehow you have to figure out what exactly belongs to the Aniyim in terms of post Biur and not. Rabbi Yeshua says no, you can keep everything yourself. That's the Machlokas Tanoim. And we were going into, so what's the Machlokas about? What's the Nekudas of Machlokas? So we had two, and we're going to have a third today. We had two explanations of that Machlokas so far. The first explanation, which we'll see, is going to be the one that holds up L'maskana. The other ones will be rejected. But the first one was that this Machlokas is connected to the Machlokas later on Daf Ayin Zayin, about who is allowed to partake of Shemitah fruit after the time of Biur, right? That was the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi on Ayin Zayinam and Aleph in the ninth perek. Rabbi Yossi says that anybody could take it, and that's what we paskin, even the owner could take it, while Rabbi Yehuda says, no, only the Aniyim are allowed to take it, right? And not the Ashir. So that's exactly this machlokas, right? According to the first opinion in our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Elazar, that you have to work it out with the Aniyim, he holds only the Aniyim can take it. And according to Rabbi Yeshua holds like Rabbi Yossi, anybody can take it. And therefore, even if you figure it out, you're allowed to take it because you are machzik and you have just as many rights as the Aniyim. That was all option one of what the pshat of the machlokas is. Then option two, we had Rabbi Yosa. Rabbi Yosa was on Lamed Zayin Amid Beis. Right? Rabbi Yosa says, no, the case is where you have these luf leaves that are growing, and it grew, you planted it before Shemitah, and it kept growing during Shemitah, you crushed it without detaching it. You crushed it during Shemitah, but you were only ripped it out of the ground after Shemitah. That's the case. And what's the issue? The issue is, it started growing before Shemitah, so there's no Svichin issue, as we said. But the question is, you're crushing it, which reduces how much it grows, but it was still connected to the ground, and it still grew a little bit. What's called detachment? What's called harvesting? For Hilchas Shabbos, obviously, it's the actual detaching. But we're not talking about Hilchas Shabbos here. We're talking about Hilchas Shemitah. So what's called Lakita in terms of, we know for vegetables, or these leaves have the status of vegetables, what's called Lakita in terms of determining whether this has Shemitah Kedusha or not? That's the Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah. And that's what the Gemara said. If you say that dikun, right, we switch the resh for a dalin. If you say that dikun is like ripping it up, so then it all belongs to the Aniyim. It's all kedushas shviyas. And if not, then you could keep it. So that was the machlokas between, according to Rabbi Yosa. As we'll see, Rabbi Chizkiya, who will start off today's daf, will have the same exact shot, but a little different. A little different as we will see. But just 2 points I wanted to mention from yesterday. The Gemara brought up yesterday, Biur Shenimsa Batoksh Davar Shein Lo Biur. Something that's Yotze, if you have a fruit that's growing from a bulb, and one has Kedusha Shvias, one doesn't have Kedusha Shvias, and I mentioned the Mishnah about how Yotze ben Atameh Tameh, Yotze ben Atar Atar, the Mishnah in Bechoros, in the Bavli, you don't have to say the Bavli, because there's no Yerushalmi on Bechoros, the Mishnah in Bechoros on Daf Hayim Abbas. So, and the Gemara there, already starts with the Gemara, and the Rishonim expand on it, by many examples of this. They talk about honey, and I mentioned they talk about human milk. Talk about human milk. A person is not kosher, right? A person has a cheskas kashrus, but that's in a different way. But a person is not kosher. But the question is, there is machlokas we've shown him. What's the isser of Bisar Adam? Bisar Adam, what is the isser? And ironically, in terms of Balta Shaksu, it's the word's most disgusting. But in terms of Rachmanal Islan, if somebody's in this terrible, terrible situation, and the only thing to eat is Bsar Nevel and Bsar Adam, the question is, what's the worst thing to eat and what's the better thing to eat? But the Rama paskins that Bsar Adam is an Isarasei, it's not a lav. It's not a lav. The Rama Menichel Macholas Asuros in Perek Beis, where does it say in the Torah not to eat human flesh? Where does it say that in the Torah? Obviously, there's a chiyuv kvura, but let's say pikuach nefesh. So again, we can't even think about it. But that's just in terms of the shita of what the status of not kosher is. According to the Rambam, in terms of iser, the Bsar adam is not alav. Other rishonim seem to say the Ritva quotes in Ksubas Daf Samach that maybe it is. But the Rambam says ha'adam perak beis halacha gimel of hilchos ma'achalas asuros. The Rambam says, "Ha'adam, avo bishenemar bo vayhi adam lenefesh chaya." Even though it says man should be nefesh chaya, it doesn't mean that man has the same status as a chaya, as opposed to chaya and behema. That chaya means something different. Nefesh chaya, eino bechal mina chaya. It's an amazing hava mina. You might have thought vayhi adam lenefesh chaya. So there's behemas and there's chayas, and adam is a type of chaya. Right, just like other types of animals. No, Rambam says don't think that. It's the same word can be used in different ways. You could have the same word in the Torah that means different things. You could have the same word in the Gemara that means different things. Right, the word chai doesn't mean different. The word chazaka in the Gemara can mean 10 different things. What the word chazaka is, but here the word chai in the Torah. So again, aval bishenemar bo vayadam lenefesh chaya eino bichlal minei chaya ba'alas parsa. Right, it doesn't mean that lefichach eino belosa say. Right, it's not below sasei. Via ochal mi besar ha'adam o mechelbo. If a person, Rachman al Islan, in a certain situation, or consumes human flesh, or from its chelev, bein min achai, bein min ames, eino loke. There's no malchus. Aval aser hu ba'asei. But there's an iser asei. Shere mana akasiv shivas mine chaya. Because the Torah lists off the seven chayas. Via amar bahen, zos achaya asher tochlu. These are the chayas that you shall eat. So that's the mitzvah saseh. Eat these chayas, but don't eat man. Ha, kalshu, chutz mehen, lo sochlu. V'lava ba mechlal aseh. It's a lava ba mechlal aseh. The Ravid there says, maybe it's not even an iser aseh. V'im kein, lama amr, why does it say, ksubis taf samach, bidamo shafilu mitzvahs pro shein bo. Talking about the blood of a person. So again, this is a discussion, but again, having to do with hayotzi min atame tame. So is that called tame? Is a person called not kosher? If it's not even a lav, it's an isra say. So would you have the same? The question is, do you even have to answer the question of why breast milk is mutter to a child? Right? You have to say, oh, this is the only thing they have, it's pikuach nefesh in their docha. What if they know? It's not a question of yotzei min hatamei. It's a question of how one answers that. Okay, that is one. Two, we spoke about svichin yesterday, and I spoke about a number of exceptions to the rule of svichin. Another one of the exceptions to the rule is Otzer Bezdin. We haven't really spoken about Otzer Bezdin yet. Just to mention what it is, and hopefully we'll talk about it at a later date. Otzer Bezdin, interestingly, is nowhere in Shas, Yerushalmi. It's not brought up in the Mishnayos, I should say, in Shvius. And it's not brought up in the Rambam, but it's in the Tosefta. And the Ramban quotes this Tosefta. The Ramban, there on the Shemitah, Psukim, quotes this Tosefta. And this halacha was dormant for thousands of years, or I should say, until Rav Kook and the Chazon Ish dug it up from this Ramban, in Rav Kook first. In the sugyas of when Bnei Yisrael came back, when we came back to Eretz Yisrael, and we had the issues of Shemitah and Hetem Mechira. So this was another option that the Chazon Ish and the Rav Kook both encouraged very much. Problem is, it wasn't able to be so wide-ranging. It was Otzer Bezdin. The Tosefta discusses Otzer Bezdin, and the Ramban again quotes it in Parshas Bahar. And that is, Misha Yeshlo, Perishvius, Vihigia Shah Sabiur, Machalik Man Lashkhenav, I'm reading from the Ramban. Machalik Lam Shkhenov Korval Mudov. If it comes to Perishvius, if it comes to Shas Biur, as we spoke about yesterday, give out all your fruit. You gotta give it out because it's gonna become Asr if it's in your house. Umotzi Minyecha Petzak Beso Vyomer. Achenu Beis Israel. Call me Shitzorach Lito Yovo Vito. Take whatever you want. Vachozer Umachlis Litoch Beso Vaochavolechashashi Yichlu. Kolze Shari Petosefta. Velamanu, I'm sorry, that's the Barishona. Here's the line. Barishona, Hayu Bezdin Osin Otsar Bakal Ir Va'ir. Bezdin used to make piles of fruit. What's Bezdin talking about here? What's going on here? The farmers used to give Bezdin the fruit, or at least the ownership of the fruit. Bezdin would hire workers, and they would harvest all the fruit in your field. V'nosim la'otzer shalahem, v'ed la'peres ha'mukhrasim la'otzer. Bezdin einan tzrichen bi'ur, achar shekar muvu arin heimin abayis. They're not called yours, so it doesn't need bi'ur, because it's as if it's already muvur from your house, because it belongs to Bezdin. V'echraniyim, v'echran ashir, mucharim la'achar bi'ur, l'kal me'am yad bezdin la'ochlan, v'kolze ha'takana v'atorach shal bezdin v'nechshad, v'chulu, and he continues. So we'll talk more about this. But otzer bezdin basically means it's a way of the Bezdin taking the produce into the city's storehouses, leaving the owner with enough for three meals, and they take everything else and they give it out to all of the all that need it. What do we do bizman hazeh in the Otzer Bezdins? Basically, the Bezdin takes responsibility, but then the Bezdin hires the owners of these fields to work the field before the Bezdin, because who would be the best workers for the field? The owners of the field, right? So Bezdin gives a certain amount, not paying for the produce, but paying for the avoda that's done, and that's how they do it. Kedusha Oser Bezdin fruit have full Kedushas Shemitah, full Kedushas Shemitah. It belongs to Jews, and it belongs to the Bezdin, and there's big shilas about, but the Oser Bezdin, you're allowed to work it, and it's already considered mavuar. And also Svichin has different halachas related to Oser Bezdin, because the whole chash is that people are going to plant, but if it's owned by Bezdin, maybe it's excluded. But you're allowed to harvest it in the normal way, right? The Chazon Ish and other Achronim talk about why this is mutter, that the owner, the Rav Blumenzweig, has a sefer from Yerucham, has a sefer on Shvius. So he writes there that the whole point of the Isser of Avoda Shvius is because you can't show that you're the Bailam. But if you're not the Bailam, Bezdin's the Bailam, then there's no limitation. If you have an individual person who's the Bialim, so then that's a problem of a working it in the normal way. But if you're not the Bialim, so then there would be less of an issue. That's a bit definite, less of an issue of reflecting Bialus. The other way to show maybe that maybe Bezdin is Yad Aniyim, and therefore Aniyim are allowed to work it in the normal way. Either way, that's a little Oser Bezdin. We'll have to get back to that. We didn't do it justice, but just to mention, I wanted to mention that related to yesterday's daf. Okay, Vaita, we are up to the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Here, number three, Reb Chizkiah gives a third shot of what the Machlokas is in our Mishnah about, again, the Luf, and you have the leaves that now you have to figure out whether it's to the Aniyim or you could also partake. So remember, what did the second shot, Reb Yosef, said? It was planted before Shemitah, you crushed it during Shemitah, and you picked it totally after Shemitah. Reb Chizkiah is going to say the same thing, he's just going to move it up. You planted it before Shemitah, you crushed it before Shemitah, and you picked it during Shemitah. So it's basically the same thing instead of seventh and eighth year, sixth and seventh year. Reb Chizkiah, Pater Masisa, Erev Rosh Hashanah Shvius. The Mishnah is talking about Erev Rosh Hashanah. Not to Erev Rosh Hashanah Shvius, you planted it before Shemitah. V'asa, Beitza, we're going to switch around the Girsos here, like the Rosh and the Rechai Kanievsky. V'asa, Beitza, B'shishis. And it grew already in the sixth year. V'dichno b'shishis. And you crushed it in the sixth year. V'akra b'sov shvius. And then you ripped it up during Shemitah. So again, the same exact thing as the previous answer, but instead of crushing in the seventh and picking in the eighth, it's crushing in the sixth and picking in the seventh. So in Tamar, dikun ki ikor. So if you say crushing is like picking it up, which means that happened in the sixth year, so kula the balabayas, right? So that all then belongs to the balabayas, meaning it doesn't have kutusha shvius. It's all sixth year. In Tamar, ein dichun ki ikur. And if you say crushing is not like ikur, so it didn't happen in the sixth, it happened in the seventh. Ein kula the balabayas. That is not all the balabayas, because some of it belongs to the ani. And therefore, lefichach, yaseh cheshbon im aniyim. Therefore, he has to do a cheshbon with the aniyim. Right, that's what the Girsa of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, yaseh cheshbon im aniyim, nimsa I'm reading Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Nimse shalaktu b'shvius. Right? If crushing is not like harvesting, uprooting, so then what? Where do you cut it? During Shemitah. So you have to work it out. Hakol aniyim. He'll got to be suffic, but because. So you don't know. Right? If it's, he adds this in, according to Rabbi Lazar, you're not sure whether dikun is kish ikur or not, and therefore you got to do a cheshbon. You got to do a cheshbon with the aniyim. Hilka misafik yasiman cheshbon. Velo pligi, and now look what he adds. Velo pligi Reb Chizkiya v'Reb Yosi. Reb Chizkiya, who gives the third shot, and Reb Yosi, who gives the second shot, don't argue. They're arguing about what the case of the Mishnah is, but it's the fundamentally the same issue. Is ikur, is dikun like ikur? Is crushing it and making it grow less, is that like harvesting it regarding Hilchas Lakita Kemeiser, right? Vakulon Chat Patri. They're giving one answer. But one is sixth and seventh year, one is seventh and eighth year. It's the same exact answer though. Back to the Gemara. So you gotta do it. How do you do a cheshbon? How do you do a cheshbon with the aniyim? Again, because you're not sure if Deacon is key because you want to just split it up then. You want to just have a pshara. So Asa Be'eretz Shaloshanim, if the luf was in the ground for 3 years before Shemitah, and then Shemitah came. So Shemitah is one out of the 4 years that it grew. So no sale aniyim rova. So give aniyim a quarter of the luf leaves that you have. Shtei shanim, if it was growing for 2 years before Shemitah, so Shemitah is one third of the years it grew. No sale aniyim shlish. So give them one third. Shana achaz, if it just grew 1 year before Shemitah, so you have sixth and seventh year, so no sale aniyim echsa. So then give it half. So basically, this is the same answer, and Reb Yosa, this could be a sum up of what we just said, or a lead into the next question. We'll read it now. Reb Yosa, who gave the second answer, Pater Mastisa Levnei Rosh Hashanah Shvius. Reb Chizkiya, who gave the third answer, Pater Mastisa Erev Rosh Hashanah Shvius. So it's the same thing. I don't know why one word, they use the word Lifnei, and one Erev, but it's basically the same idea. Maybe Reb Chizkiya uses Erev because you're even going to crush it beforehand. Okay, but this is all the different answers given. We're talking about what you have to give to the aniyim and what you have to leave for the aniyim. We'll talk a little bit about stock of the ship a little bit later, but the lashon of the aniyim, this relates to a major philosophical dilemma that was asked by Turnus Rufus HaRasha to Rabbi Akiva, Baba Vasra Daf Yud in the Bavli. V'zu she'el ha'shal Turnus Rufus HaRasha to Rabbi Akiva. Im elokeichem oev aniyim hu. If your God loves poor people, why doesn't he give them money? Great kasha. Turn to Rufus asks, he loves them so much, so why does he make them poor? Amar lei, Rabbi Akiva answers, Kadesha nitzol anu bahen midina shel gehenim. So that we are safe from gehenim, meaning to be mezakeh us to be able to give and partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the schus. So you might say, they have to suffer to be able to. No, the point is that this is life. Life is the Chasam Sofer there in Baba Basra says life is a galgalach hozer ba'olam, and we use each other to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. So now the ani is the ani and the poor is the poor, and then in a couple of generations it'll flip. That's what the Chasab Sofer says there. Kachi amida sheyitchechu aniyim hagunim v'yisku behem ashir magunim u'begalgal acher yehafecha inyan. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will flip it. But that's Rabbi Akiva's answer to Turnus Rufus HaRasha. So Turnus Rufus doesn't stop. He says, one second. Adam Amar le'Adarabba, Zusha mechayavtum legehenim. But you think this is saving you from Gehenim? This is bringing you to Gehenim by giving the poor money? What do you mean? I'll give you a mashal. Lamada v'dome, l'melech basar v'adam, shekos al abdo. Remember the mashal, almost every mashal is a king or a rich man. Right? So here it is, even in the Gemara. Right? So a king gets angry at his servants, v'chavshu b'beis asurim, and threw his servant in jail. V'tziva olav shalola achilo v'lola shkoso. And he told everybody, don't give him any food. Don't give my evidence any food. He violated my will. V'halach adam echad, and one person went and snuck in some food. V'achelo v'ashkeyu. K'sheshama melech lo koeis alav. V'atem kriin avadim. The king's going to get angry if you didn't listen to him. And you're called avadim. So, v'yashenem v'kili b'nei yisrael avadim. So that poor person, Hashem doesn't want him to give him money. So I'm going to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's like, you got the mashal wrong. Em shalacha mashal. L'mad eradom melech basav adam. Shekos al b'no. He gets angry at his son, and because The son publicly violated the king's will. He has to throw him in jail too. The chav shebeis asurim. And he said, don't give him food or drink. But wink, wink, right? When somebody goes and privately gives him food, when the king hears about it, kishama melech lo doron mishagelo, wouldn't the king send him a private present? Says, you're called banim, but you're called avadim. When you do Ritzon Hashem Malkom, you're called banim. When you aim Ritzon Hashem Malkom, you're called avadim. And now you're not doing a Ritzon Hashem Malkom. So he didn't answer, but the answer could be, no, we're always called banim amakom, right? We pass in like the Deya in Kiddushin, right? Bein zeh, banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. He gives a different answer. But anyway, that's the Gemara about Rabbi Akiva and the Tzurva is about helping the Aniyim. But again, this is something that the point is that the tzedaka opportunity is not so much about the recipient of the tzedaka. It's about the giver of the tzedaka. And that's what we like to point out, the Sefer HaChinuch, in the mitzvah, again, of tzedaka, but also I'll read it to you from the mitzvah of giving a loan. Im kesef talveh, the first mitzvah in Parshas, Im kesef talveh, right? Because the Sefer HaChinuch has two different, he has mishpatim as two parshias, Parshas mishpatim and Parshas kesef talveh. So the first mitzvah he has in Parshas kesef talveh, which has seven mitzvahs asay and 22 mitzvahs lo asay, but you got to add that to mishpatim to make it to do the whole math. It's still not as much as kisei tse, or I think emor or re'e. I think those are the big three. But the mishpatim, after check again. But anyway, samach vav, the mitzvah of giving loans to an ani, which it doesn't come up as much nowadays in terms of giving loans. It does. The Chafetz Chaim, the whole first half of Avas Chesed is all about giving loans and the importance that he screams about everybody has to make sure and take care of it. I mean, there was a different type of banking system then. So then nowadays people take loans you get it officially in a bank. But there it seems like much more personal. So there on the mitzvah of Kesef Talveh, the chinuch says, what's in Kesef Talveh about the Shorash HaMitzvah? So you would expect it to say, because somebody's in need, you got to help him. Says the chinuch, you know what the mitzvah is about, the Shorash HaMitzvah? So the lender becomes accustomed to giving and to sharing. Ratza hakel lihios bru'av milumadim umurgalim b'midas hachesed v'harachamim. You know what the mitzvah of lending money is about? So that the lenders become ba'alei chesed. Ki hi mida mishubachas, umitoch hechsher gufam b'midas hatovos, yiru'uyim l'kabalas tova. And through becoming good people, you'll be zochet to Hashem's goodness that he wants to share on us. Kamosha amarnu, like it says, shachalos hatova bracha la'olam al hatov, lo behefcho. And the more we make ourselves receptacles of bracha by giving, so we will be able to be zochet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness. V'im lav mitzad shor zeh halahu baruch hu yaspik lani dei machzor zul aseinu. And then he adds, because if this wasn't the purpose, Hashem would just give them money themselves, right? What's he thinking about in his head? Baba Basra. Ela shahaya meichasto baruch hu shenaseinu shluchim lo lezako seinu. Hashem could have easily have just given them the money, but instead he's going to give it through us so that we are zochet. So we are zochet. Okay, that is all a little bit about Rabbi Akiva, that discussion. Okay, here we go. Says the Gemara, the first five words, Luf Shalei Rosh Vias, we're going to put later. We're going to put later because that's a quote from the Mishnah. But it's going to go later because first we're continuing what we just said. Revun Barchia, boy, kumi Reb Zeira. Revun Barchia asked in front of Reb Zeira, what was answer 2 and 3 that we just said? Explanation 2 and 3. What's the machlokas in the Mishnah? If something was crushed 1 year and harvested and uprooted the following year, which year does it go by? So ask Rabbi Boon, Afishar Sheni Shavua Kain. Why is this Mishnah then? What's it doing in Shvius? This is just a general question about crushing and harvesting. It's the same question between the third and the fourth year of Shemitah. Right? Is this Meiser Sheni year? Is this Meiser Ani year? The same kind of question. So why is this asked in Shvius? And I'll tell you another problem. We know the answer to this question. We know it's not what was the pshat that we just gave. According to the one of the Tanaim, he's not sure whether Dikun is Ki'ikur, and therefore he has to make a pshara and do a cheshbon with the Aniyim. We know exactly whether Dikun is Ki'ikur, whether crushing is like uprooting. V'atani, we learned in the Tosefta, Haisa Shniya Nechnesas L'Shlishis. Right, an example of not Shemitah. If it's the second year going into the third year, if somebody is the end of the second year and I know, I'm the farmer. Second year, that's my Ma'aser Sheni. So that's mine, I'm going to bring it up to Yerushalayim. Third year is going to be Ma'aser Ani. Ma'aser Ani. So the Tosefta says, Eino Medachno, don't crush it. Don't crush it now at the end of the sixth year, at the end of the second year, to make it yours. So that'll be a Ma'aser Sheni year. Don't try to be ma'arim. And don't prevent water from it. Remember, we had about a week or two ago, that if you want to make something, consider the previous year, even by a vegetable, don't give it water for a few weeks. So then for sure, the water it's going to be grown by the previous year's water, so it's going to be considered the previous year's. Right? We said, because usually, why do the vegetables go by Lakita? Because they use the water that they just got. So if you prevent water from going there, you're going to make it the previous year's. Says the Tosefta, don't play around. You want it to be Ma'aser Sheni instead of Ma'aser Ani? Don't play around. Let the Ani have it in the third year. Don't do these type of strategies, like crushing it in the second year, or not letting it have water in the second year. Don't do that. Or, what if it's the third year going into the fourth year? Midachno, do this. Do this, so it's third years, right? So basically, the Tosefta is saying, better to have Ma'aser Ani than to have Ma'aser Sheni. Right? So in the second year, don't play around to make it into Ma'aser Sheni. In the third year, play around to make it Ma'aser Ani. Medachno, crush it, umoneh men umayim, and withhold water from it, bishvil sheyehei Ma'aser Ani, so that it's Ma'aser Ani. But what do you see from there? Hada amra shadichun ki'ikur. You see from there that the Tosefta is assuming, there's a machlokes, that dichun is ki'ikur. Whatever year you crush it in is going to be the year as if you harvest it. So again, and also note, different than Hilchah Shabbos, as I alluded to before. Hilchah Shabbos, you are going to be chayiv kotzer only when you detach it from the ground. Right? If you minimize its nourishment from the ground, you crush it a little bit, pashas, that's not going to be the malach of kotzer. Kotzer is when you actually detach it, weakening its connection, unless it's cut a little bit, but if it's perfectly good and you just crushed it. But here, for Shemitah and for Trumas and Maestris, you go by when you lessened its strength and nourishment from the ground. And therefore, says the Gemara, I don't know why Pshat 2 and 3 spoke about Shemitah. You could talk about any year. And also, I don't know what the suffix is. It's clear that Dikud is Ki'ikur. And therefore, says the Ma'ara Folda, we reject these two Pshatim, Pshat 2 and 3. And we go back to Pshat number 1. Pshat number 1, we said, was this Mishnah over here is connected to the Mishnah later on Daf Ayin Zayin, that it's about, the Machlokas here is about, what's the halacha of Perish Shemitah after Bi'ur? Is it mutter only to Aniyim? Or is it mutter to everybody? Is it mutter to everybody? Aniyim et Ashirim, even to the Balabayas that was mafkirit in the first place, which is what we paskin, that by Perish Shvius or by Shemitah Wah, you put it out for 10 minutes, you're mafkirit, and then even you could take it back in. Good, let's just do the next line, and then we'll talk. The next line, so this is where we're up to now, third to last line. Now we put in what we skipped on top, the Luf Shaler of Shvius. So remember, that phrase was in the second half of our Mishnah, and that spoke about if somebody has these lufs that are sixth-year lufs, they're sixth-year lufs that go into Shvius, as you work the land for these lufs, even though it doesn't have Kedusha, because it was sixth year or planted, well, you weren't located yet, but you still can't work the land in the normal way. So we mentioned in the Mishnah, you have to use wooden kalim, or you have to use a different type of metal kli. Whole discussion, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So the Gemara just has one line commenting, Rabbi Yosef, B'Shem Rabbi La, Tipater, She'akran, Atchalot Simchu. This is all where you're talking about, where you're uprooting these before it started to grow fruit. Because if it started to grow fruit, we learned earlier, you can't uproot a Shemitah tree that just started to go fruit if the fruit isn't ripe yet. Remember, that's la achla velo li'ibud, right? That would be ruining the Shemitah fruit if you don't let it become fully ripe, right? So that's what the Rabbi Yosef is just commenting. So this type of uprooting with the metal kalim, with the wooden kalim, the whole discussion, Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, that's only must be early on before it started growing its fruit. In general, stucca, as we're talking about Ma'aser Ani here, as the Gemara here reflects, Ma'aser Ani beats Ma'aser Sheni. and if you could give one, you should give Maaser Ani. There's a lot to talk about in Yonei Tzedaka. Maybe we'll talk about it in the future. Just make one or two comments. The Beis HaLevi, the back of the Beis HaLevi, he has Ala Torah. We have the Beis HaLevi Ala Torah on Breishas and Shmos, and in the back he has Drushas. Sometimes they're printed with the Tshuvas of Beis HaLevi, depending on what edition you have. But the first Drush is Drush L'Tzedaka. Drush L'Tzedaka. And there he talks about whether there is a concept of Lishma by Tzedaka. Because we know there's a concept we learned back in Maseches Peah, we learned Shichacha. Shichacha is a kind of tzedakah, manas aniyim, that you have to only do if you didn't realize what you were doing. Then there's an issur to go back to get it. But that's shichacha. But here he talks about there's evidence, lakan or lakan, whether there's an idea of lishma by tzedakah or not. But he does say there is an element to say that maybe tzedakah has a low lishma element more than any other mitzvah. Because by all mitzvahs, you try to do the mitzvah lishma. And if you're missing that lishma, you're missing chaser lo, but also shah kiyam mitzvah. Right, but if you have the mitzvah of tzedakah, and he said, b'derech mashal, im lo meit shalol lishma, if I'm learning shalol lishma, im no ma jalom mahani, if I say that my lo lishma ruins my mitzvah, then not only am I held accountable for not doing the mitzvah, but I'm just being mevatel my life and my time at that moment. If I have a kavanah shalo lishma on a I don't have lishma on a mitzvah. So A, I'm not doing the mitzvah. B, chaser lo osa shah, kiyam mitzvah. But by tzedakah, he says, even if I'm lo lishma, lamaisa, the ani got the money. And if the ani got the money, I'm not going to be faulted for not doing the mitzvah then because lamaisa, the result happened. Hare gamim nosin lo shalo lishma. Mikamakam, hare yesh laha ani ksus. Ve'eno arum klal. The ani is no longer not clothed. V'chein kishema achilo. Even if I give him food, shalol lishma. Again, it's not the greatest, but ein kan arm v'roi ve'ein olav chiyav shal mitzvah staka klal ve'afilu emanesina hi shalol lishma. Which basically is saying it's a result-oriented mitzvah. And as long as the result is done, even if I didn't have kavana properly, the result is still key, which has many nafkaminas. The difference between result-oriented mitzvahs and maisa, just to mention one discussion, the Machan Ephraim. The Machan Ephraim in Hilchos Shluchim discusses ma'akeh. If a goy puts up a ma'akeh, a Jew can make a bracha. And that's related to havlakas neiris. If a woman somehow was after shkia, she didn't light candles, Magen Avraham quotes this, that, she could ask a goy to light candles, you're allowed to, amir la'akim b'bein ha'shmashas is mutter, right, not later, but amir la'akim b'bein ha'shmashas is mutter, but his chiddush is that you could even make a bracha, a woman can make a bracha on those candles. Because it's a result-oriented mitzvah, that's a chiddush gadol, but it's ma'akeh as compared to havlakas neiris, but it's based on this Machan Ephraim and Siman Yonah. But what's the key? The key is it's a result-oriented mitzvah, like the Beis HaLevi says here about staka. Okay, there's a lot more, but we'll stop here before the Bitzalim Hakitzonim, which we'll have to better talk about tomorrow.